Hello and welcome to the Haywood County Schools Report. This is Todd Trantham and I'm going to be your host for the show today. Today we're talking about some new research about learning with our special guest on the show, Dr. Bill Nolte, our Associate Superintendent. Dr. Nolte, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And earlier this year, Dr. Nolte, you and a group of people from Haywood County Schools got the opportunity to travel out west and spend some time with a group of people, and many of them advanced thinkers in education, mm-hmm. just about learning and about some of the new research that's out there about learning. And I want to take just a few minutes to talk to you about that. Just tell us the basics of how that unfolded.
Yeah, and I can be winded, very winded or long-winded, so I'm going to go as quick as I can. We bumped into this presenter in Greensboro last year at a federal meeting where we were learning new federal rules. And it was, I had a session that was canceled, and I went into this session. Ron Moss was in there. As it turned out, Jill Barker had a different session that was canceled and walked in there. And it was the first time we'd ever seen an organization who thinks about learning similar to the way we think about learning. And we went to the session and basically forgot it, mm-hmm. you know, and didn't think too much about it. That group, which is called the Mind Research Institute, was in the middle of the state. Early in the fall, and we asked them just to come up and meet with some of our principals and talk to us. And they did and came up and talked about some of the research with a few of our principals. During that meeting, one of the vice presidents for the company came over to me and said, I just sent you an email. Want to make sure you got it. And I thanked him, told him I had it. And later that day, opened it up, and it was basically an invitation to fly out to the Mind Research Institute in California, and they paid, which was just amazing, and learn about some of their new research. They're a nonprofit, so they basically just want to get the word out about what works. They were founded by this fellow named Matthew Peterson, who's very dyslexic. He now has a PhD in neuroscience from Berkeley, and he spent his whole life figuring out the best ways for people to learn. So they told us four things that we're going to use next year to help us get better.
And so we're going to go through and just talk about each of these four things and try to spend the bulk of the time we've got together going over those. The first of those is schema building.
Yeah,
so talk what that is. I have to say very carefully.
We smiled when we heard that in California. But basically, we do this really well. Lots of schools do this well. Basically, a schema is you see a chair and your mind automatically has this list of things about that. I sit in it. That looks like it's a chair that would be at the kitchen table. That chair has wheels, so maybe it's in the office and you move around. And in education, we teach schema. We didn't know it was called that, but we teach schema in reading and writing and science and everything else. So, you know, in math, you might see a word in a word problem and you go, oh, that means I'm probably dividing, okay? Or you might see some language in a passage and you go, oh, that's why the author wrote this in the first place. This tells me what the author's trying to communicate to me. And so what we need to do with schema is just make sure that we do it in situations and help students through situations where the schema doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You think the word says to multiply, but you've got to read the whole math problem and realize there might be three steps in the problem. So I'm not just multiplying, I'm doing this and this. So we do pretty well with schema. Most schools do.
The second one, Dr. Nolte, is experiential knowledge. What does that mean?
Well, we do that really well in most settings. Okay, our people in CTE, our people who teach technological skills, our people who do things like health occupations and other things, they do a great job because they connect the book work to real live work. And the key to really understanding something is I can take that book work in those terms and those numbers and those formulas and leave the classroom and go use it effectively. So literally in welding at the high school, they might teach a student multiple welds, and then they say, okay, make us a grill or fix this thing that's broken, and the same kind of thing. So what we'll do is try to expand those experiences to make sure that we're doing them in subjects that have typically been more abstract. Like, here's the periodic table, we want to memorize it, or here's a math way to do math, or here's a way to read something. So we need to expand experiential knowledge.
The next one, Dr. Nolte, is real-world problem solving.
Yeah, okay. And it's akin to the experiential learning in that, and they've done a lot of research on this and tested people, and real-world problem solving is when you use all your problem-solving skills that you learned in the classroom, but you use them in a real way. And when you use them in a real way, you remember them forever, and sometimes you even come up with really good solutions. So we do things like, you know, give kids a bunch of straw and a bunch of tape and a bunch of glue and say, make a tower that'll hold a half a pound for 10 minutes. That's a great problem. It's just not real, mm-hmm. you know. So what we need to do with real-world problem solving is literally take some problems in our community, in our country, in our home, maybe the kids are doing it with parents, in our social settings, and let the students or encourage the students to build solutions for those. I can remember, I'll go really quickly, I did Boys State back in the 70s, which was a thing that I did as a student in Tennessee, and we actually examined some problems and wrote some laws, and some of those laws were actually passed. So it's using what you know in a real way. If you do that, you understand it better, and you don't forget it.
The final one, Dr. Nolte, is, and maybe one of my favorites, is academic discourse.
Yeah, it sounds fun, and it's fun to say. And here's the thing. Academic discourse, and we're blessed in Haywood County, really helps you internalize what you know, and it helps you debate things that are not absolute. You know, some math problems are absolute. Mm-hmm. Some things in science are absolute. But there are also other things that can be done four or five ways really, really well. And basically, academic discourse is when you debate different ways or the best ways to do something, math, science, or maybe you're reading several different technical texts about how to install computer software, or how, I'm just making that up, or how to build something, and you have an intellectual debate discussion about which one of these is the best way, and if we were telling someone how to do it, how would we do it? And we do a great job of that as adults. Mm-hmm. We do a really good job debating, you know, 504 versus IEP. We do a good job versus of debating remediation in the classroom by the teacher who's been teaching all year versus remediation that's done outside the classroom or maybe with another teacher. Or we do a really good job of debating traditional math instruction versus conceptual math instruction. And I think that has really helped us as a school system. We have not done a very good job with teaching our students how to do that. And I think we haven't because you have to be careful. With academic discourse, it really has to be about the information in the subject, the words in the text, if you're debating something that an author has written. And there's a natural tendency sometimes to go, well, Bill Nolte's big and bald and loud, and so for that reason I believe him or I don't. Mm-hmm. And so academic discourse is always really about a deep conversation with students, talking to each other about what's going on. It's not about personalities. So we're looking forward to using all of those things next year. This year we're going to try to finish teaching these students this year and hopefully continue to do a good job and get through our accreditation visit. And then we're going to increase our instruction based upon the new research we've learned.
Well, Dr. Nolte, I want to thank you for being on our show today and visiting with us, talking about the new research that we found in learning and some of the things that we're going to do differently because of that. Listeners, we appreciate you being with us and hope you've enjoyed this. Have a safe and great day.